Trinity Baptist Church over the last few years. And you may remember in 2017, we shared the vision and launched the theme, Forward Together by Faith. And that was a theme focusing around us celebrating our past, but not being binded by our past, in order that we can move forward into the blessings that God had for us as a church, the new tomorrows, if you will. 2018 was 2018 on purpose. And this was an opportunity for us to, I guess, navigate what it looks like to be a purpose-driven church in all that we do, and ultimately lead all people to become purpose-filled disciples of Jesus. And this was a year where we actually formed our new vision statement as a church, and also our purpose statements, our vision being transform, grow, become, meaning transformed by Christ to grow in Christ and become like Christ in thought, word, and deed. That's our vision as a church. That's why we have the transform, grow, become slogan, if you will, up on our screens and around the church. That's our desire as a church. That's where we want God to take us, amen? That we be transformed by Him, that we would grow in Him and become like Him. And then finally, our purpose statement is, again, to lead all people to become purposeful disciples of Jesus. That's why we exist. 2019 was a year where we focused on worship and becoming the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. The theme was called True Worship, becoming the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. And last year, that was a big year, wasn't it? 2020, you probably can't even remember the theme that we launched because it was such a big year, but that theme was edging closer, edging deeper, and all about edging closer to the image of Christ, individually, collectively, and also going deeper in our relationship with Him as well. And in a way, I think we all managed to do that based on the year we had. Sometimes hardship brings out new life in us. So edging closer, edging deep. And we're sort of extending that theme today as we launch the theme for 2021. Because 2021 is going to be a year focused on us understanding what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. It's all about us understanding what it means to be a true disciple of Him. And for those of us who have put their hand up and accepted Christ into our lives, we're going to dive deeper into what it looks like to be a disciple of Him. And so therefore, our theme for 2021 is around this. It's going to be called the discipleship. You might have to click this for us, Flynn. This isn't working. The discipleship journey. This is where we're heading in 2021. We're going to go on a journey of discovering what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And the key passage that we're focusing on is John 20, 21. You like what we did there? Or you like what God did there? That was more Him leading us in that direction. John 20, 21, as Greg says, peace be with you. This is the words of Jesus Christ. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I don't know if you realize this, but we've spoken about this a lot, but you are a sent one. You are called to be a missionary in the neighborhood, in furthering God's kingdom. Ultimately, we are called to be agents of God's mission in this world. And so that is where we are going to end this year. By the end of this year, hopefully we understand what it means to be sent into this world. These are the very words of Jesus Christ. As He was sent into the world to further God's work, to do God's work, we too are called and commissioned to be Jesus' hands and feet in this world, to do His work, as it were, to further His kingdom. This is what it means to be a sent one. So what does this look like tangibly? What does it look like to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit? This is where we want to push into to ultimately understand by the end of this year, we clearly grasp what this passage is talking about and what Jesus is actually calling and commissioning us each to do. So what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? We heard this quite a bit. We've heard this language quite a bit, discipleship. And there's a lot of books about discipleship. There's a lot of theories around discipleship. You can be overwhelmed with it. But this is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. Christianity without the living Christ is inevitably Christianity without discipleship. And Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. So once again, if you're a follower of Jesus here today, you and I are called into the area and the realm of discipleship. We are called to multiply disciples, to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Discipleship needs to be part of our very DNA, our identity. And so again, we want to go on this journey of discovering what true discipleship actually looks like. And for me, I was actually, I've had a bit of a revolutionized view on what discipleship actually is over the past few years. And there's a key element of discipleship that probably isn't really spoken about in much churches that we're going to dive into this year, which I'll come to in just a moment. But Alan Hirsch says this, unless the church is equipped, unless the church is equipping believers to embrace the values and vision of the kingdom of God and turn away from materialism, consumerism, greed, and power of the present age, it not only abandons its biblical mandate, it is rendered missionally ineffective. Once again, the importance of discipleship. We, you and I, becoming disciples of Jesus and making disciples of Jesus. And so discipleship, based on this quote, is all about equipping. And equipping people to ultimately turn their backs on the world in order to embrace, as Alan Hirsch says, the values and the vision of the kingdom. It's all about equipping. It's all about coming alongside people to help them understand that. But first and foremost, we need to have an understanding of the values and the vision of the kingdom first, don't we? Amen? So this is again where we want to head, which we'll come to in just a moment. But first and foremost, the emphasis is on discipleship. But before that, I really want to go into an area of our discipleship and focus on an area of our discipleship today that reinforces whether we will be effective in this area or not. Whether we will truly live out our mandate to be followers of Jesus in this way or not. And one of the areas in this area of our discipleship is around our inner selves, our values, our motives, but also our emotional maturity. Because I am of the firm belief that our emotional maturity speaks about how spiritually mature we are. Our emotional maturity reflects how spiritually mature we are. And in the book of Matthew 23, 25 and 28, Jesus says this to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. It's a harsh rebuke. This is what he says. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Pretty brutal, right? We always see Jesus as a meek and mild person, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, he's passionate. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, and on the inside you are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. What Jesus is rebuking them for is that on the outside they want to be seen to be these incredible spiritual people, these amazing followers of God, but on the inside is actually not what they're representing on the outside. Jesus is rebuking these Pharisees because their inner lives doesn't match up with that which they are trying to show on the outside, their public lives. And this is actually a key to Jesus' ministry. I'm not sure if you realize this, but everything he spoke about had to do with the heart of the individual, the heart of the disciple, because what goes into our hearts, what we meditate on, ultimately will come out. So if our inner lives are not pure, if our motives, our behaviors, our values, if they are not pure and godly, then what will come out of us are impure behaviors, impure motives, impure way of life. And this is also true for the church context as well. Jesus is more concerned about our values as a church, our heartbeat as a church, for what ultimately we value and ultimately what what we're motivated by will ultimately come out into the public domain. And so we need the values and the motives of our church to be pure, amen? We need our values and our motives, our behaviors to be godly as individuals as well. We can't get preoccupied with things that don't really matter at the end of the day. As a church, it's so easy to shine the spotlight on things and get distracted by things that at the end of the day don't really matter, like finances or our church signage or how big our church is. Jesus is more worried about the heart, amen? That is what he is concerned by. The heart of an individual, the heart of our church. And Because as he says, what comes out, or what is in ourselves, what we have, what's going on in here in our hearts, will ultimately manifest in our behaviors and inform our behaviors and what we do. So this is going to be the focus this year in order that we are able to live out our calling to be sent ones. It is ultimately all about becoming emotionally healthy disciples. Emotionally healthy in terms of how we react to one another, how we respond to one another, how we navigate through conflict and hardship when it comes, which is inevitable. Author and pastor Peter Scazzaro, a man whose ministry and whose books we're going to be utilizing quite a bit this year, he speaks extensively about this, and this is, in reading one of his books, revolutionized the way I view discipleship myself. And this is, again, where we want to head. But this is what he says in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Christian spirituality without an integration of emotional health can be deadly to yourself, to your relationship with God, and to people around you. Let me say that again. Christian spirituality without an integration of emotional health, how we respond when we're upset, how we respond in conflict and hardship, it can be deadly to yourself, your relationship with God, and the people around you. Have people found that to be true? I sure have. Because again, we have this seed of sin within us, and we also are informed in this way by our family of origin. Something that I've spoken about extensively before, and something we do with married couples before they get married in the Prepare and Enrich program, I did this just this week with a couple, is focus on your family of origin. Focus on the family dynamic, because and especially the unhealthy aspects of that dynamic, because the way you were brought up by your parents and the dynamic you had in the household when you grew up, they're going to inform your behaviors as an adult. So if there's negative behaviors in your household growing up, or unhealthy ones, ungodly ones, they're going to come out in your life, the way you parent, the way you treat others. So it's really important, and this is where we're going to head, where we sort of map out our family history, our family of origin, and start to identify those unhealthy aspects of our family lives that have been passed down generation to generation. That's one area of where we want to head, but also understanding the power and the seed of sin that is in each and every one of us. Because you see, again, sin lives in each and every one of us, and this is what causes relationship breakdowns. It's what causes shame. It's what causes secrets, betrayals, disappointments. The list goes on. But by faith, we believe that we've been given a different way to live, amen? A renewed way of life, the kingdom way of life. And we ultimately want to see God transform those unhealthy and ungodly behaviors in our lives, amen? Amen? Yeah, amen, I hope so. Because that's what he wants to do in your life. That's what he wants to do in my life. And this is where we want to head. Have a look at this illustration again of the iceberg. Did you know that only 10% of the iceberg is visible in the water? 90% of it, the rest of the 90% of it is below the surface. And every time I see an iceberg, I think of that Titanic, those poor people. But no wonder they didn't... No wonder they sunk the ship when they hit it, because look how much is underneath the surface. That's the same with our lives. What you see now with each other generally is the only 10% of an individual. The other 90% is made up of, our values, our motives, that which drives us, our heart. And so what we want, and obviously this 10%, the 10% represents the way we conduct ourselves in public. So we can reorientate our way of life to be more respectful people or nicer people. We attend church regularly. That's the 10%. But what we want God to really focus on this year in our lives individually and as a church is the greater 90%. Obviously, we can be seen to be clean on the outside, as it were, and we can address issues with, say, alcohol, drugs, foul language, and the like. We may even pray and start to share Christ with others. But the roots of who we are, the roots of where we've come from, they remain unchanged or unmoved. And those roots, those, have been established by our family of origin. They've been established by brokenness, that which we've experienced in our lives. They've been established ultimately by sin. And so most spiritual formation and discipleship models, they will address a large part of the 90%, but to address the wider 90% here, it takes us to be able to go on our hands and knees before Christ and ask for us to be truly revolutionized in an emotional capacity, I believe. And so what we want to focus on is this emotional aspect of our discipleship. Again, emotionally healthy spirituality. If we want Jesus to address this other 90%, it's again so that we can be better followers of Jesus, but also that we can live out our mandate to be sent ones into the world. If you go to the next slide there, thanks, Flynn. This is a traditional model that Peter Scazzaro talks about. Traditional model of discipleship that most of us are probably used to in the life of the church. So someone comes into a relationship with Jesus. Sorry about the blurriness of it. I'm not sure what happened there. Someone meets Jesus. They're encouraged to attend a local church, to invest into the local church. They're encouraged to connect, that says, to serve, to give. And then they're called to make an impact in this world. Is that the traditional model that you've sort of come to be accustomed to? I'm sure that's most of us. But what we want to go on this year is a path of discovery, but to deconstruct that somewhat and replace it with a transformational model that actually transforms lives as per our vision statement and ultimately makes our witness more effective in this world. So if you go to the next slide there, Flynn, this is what is our year is going to look like. This is how our year is going to be marked by. And as you can see in this transformative discipleship pathway, it's a completely revolutionized way of looking at discipleship. An attender or someone who's not yet a Christian may come into a church or come into a program like Alpha. They discover Jesus. They accept Jesus into their life through these ways. Then what should happen is this process of deep change and renewal within the person. And this is where the character side of things comes in. This is where the inner self comes in. This is where the emotional maturity comes in. They then obviously receive and go on this journey through the life of the community, life-on-life discipleship, smaller groups, which we want to encourage, obviously, more of serving. In those two areas is the process of intentional discipleship where someone's come alongside this person and very much showing them the way. And then that's going to make our impact of multiplying and making disciples far more effective. We're going to have a tremendously bigger impact if we live out this model. So the first part of the year, obviously, we're going to focus on content. Content is around the grand story of the kingdom of God, the kingdom storyline as it was. We need to understand that, as Alan Hirsch says, we need to understand the vision and the values of the kingdom so that we can then share it with others, amen? We need to understand sound doctrine, theology. So that's the first part of the year, and up until Easter, we're going to be in a series called The Story of God, understanding the bigger picture of the story of God, the kingdom storyline. Thanks, Flynn. If you want to go back, I'll go to the next slide now. So that's the first part of the year. The second part of the year is going to be intentionally focused on our character and getting that right. It's going to be focusing on emotional maturity, again, because that informs how spiritually mature we are. And what we're going to do in that regard is an eight-week course, one of Peter Scazzaro's courses called the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Discipleship Course. And more information will be known about that, but we encourage you to look out around that, emotionally healthy spirituality. We're going to focus on that. That's going to be a big part of understanding this aspect of character formation and experiencing deep change. Then in the third part of the year, we'll be focusing on community. What's true community look like in the life of the church? And then we're going to do another eight-week course in that period called Emotionally Healthy Relationships. How do we respond in conflict? Again, how do we relate to one another? That sort of thing. So what's true community look like? And then finally, at the end of the year, we're going to go and try and understand once again what it means to be called a sent ones. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So that sort of maps up our year, and that's a brief sort of overview of where we're going to head. 2021 is all about the discipleship journey. And at the end of the day, if we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, as he said it was, then we need to allow his ways to impact our ways, amen. We need to allow his ways to impact how we live, from being a father, a mother, a friend, a work colleague, how we respond in conflict, how we respond in hardship. Every aspect of Christ's life should be permeating into our lives, impacting our ways, our motives, our values, ultimately our behaviors. 2021 is the discipleship journey. We can take a break. It can become overwhelming when you see it like that, but I believe that God is very much going to do a work in and through us as a church this year. Amen? Amen. I truly believe it. I truly believe that God is going to impact us and use us. You know why? Because I've always experienced spiritual attack this week. It's been a massive week for me in many ways. And when spiritual attack comes, something good is on the horizon. Because the enemy doesn't like what we're doing. And I just want to call it out, and this is why we need to come to a time of prayer on the 17th, is to cover our church in prayer, because this is a journey that the enemy doesn't want us to go on. This is a sense of discovery the enemy doesn't want us to go on. He doesn't want it to be known. He doesn't want us to understand how we can have our lives transformed. And it takes us in this moment now to surrender ourselves before him if we want this to be true in our lives. If we want him to impact us in incredible ways this year, then we need to pray. And so what I want to encourage us to do is just within yourselves now, humble yourselves. If that's what you want to take place in your life, if you want to journey on this, if you want to embark on this journey with us, if you want to discover what true discipleship looks like, how to be a true follower of Jesus, I encourage you in this moment now just to take a moment before him. Humble your hearts before him and say, God, I know for some this may feel overwhelming, but all it takes is me to humble myself before you, and I know that you will do a work in and through me this year. So can we do that? Just in the quietness of this moment, take some time to pray within yourselves, whether you're online watching the home or in the church here today. And then I'll close in prayer for us before we close our service in worship. If you want to join me in just raising your hands as an act of surrender and submission, or hold them out in front of you, let me pray for us as we surrender our lives to our Lord and King once again. Father God, as we come before you now, as we reflect on where you are seemingly leading us this year, first and foremost, I do very much pray for a heart of humility, a posture of surrender, and may we live out the words of the author of Hebrews. May we seek to fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord God, we ask for your forgiveness for the times that we've turned our backs on you, even this week, as I know I have. Forgive us for the times that we've rebelled. Forgive us for the times that we've moved in a different direction. And Lord, we know that as we come before you now with arms held outstretched, as we surrender our lives to you, you see this posture, you see our hearts. And again, your heart and your desire is to do a work in our lives, to transform us, to make us emotionally mature so that we can have more effective witness in this community and in this world. And so, Father, in launching this today, we pray that you'd very much bless this theme and this vision. We pray that you'll bless this journey that we're all about to embark on. And ultimately, we pray that you would be honored and that you'd be glorified through our work and our ministry and our behaviors this year. And we pray all this in your Son's mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. We'd like to